Please look at the fourth verse of chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Notice now these three words. Even our faith. We are given in the Word of God assurances. There's no doubt that we live in a hostile world. There is opposition against the children of God, against the Savior Himself and the work of God every day. In fact, every moment. Because it is a hostile world. The world hates the Savior. They don't know any better. So the only hope that anyone ever has is to be saved. If you're not saved, you know nothing of a religious matter or of a spiritual nature. You don't know anything. You think you do, but you don't. You are really deceived. So you don't understand. I am being so blessed right now, these days, that I'm having a hard time taking it in. Now, I know you may not understand that. I'm not sure that I understand it. But I also know this, that the door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. And I'm sensing that wherever I go in conversations that are just one-on-one or in the meetings where I was last week, tremendous opposition and yet great, great victory. I also sense this, that with this blessing coming in my having desired a certain thing from God, that again and again and again, my wife is having difficulty. And it is grave difficulty. And today we spent the whole day really getting information, meeting with doctors. And she's to see another doctor tomorrow morning, a foot doctor about the broken bone. And then she's had conversation with the kidney doctor. And he's trying to determine if the fractured ribs will keep him from doing the surgery. He senses a time limit because of the growth of the tumor so that he can save the kidney. So there are a lot of things involved in that. But she's sitting on the couch this afternoon, this evening before I left, and big smile. And I said, what are you smiling about? She said, how good the Lord is. I said, oh, amen. And I went in the other room and I heard her humming. She has pain, but she's humming. And then, in having prayed about, prepared for tonight, Brother Clay asked me, he said, are you ready? Pastor asks me, are you ready? I can never say I am. Now I want to be. I pray to be. I study to be. I think to be. But I don't know if I can tell you I'm ready. I want to be. So I am trusting Him to use what has been prepared in my heart, even though I can't tell you I'm ready. And so, now I know that's radical, but that's just the way it is. I'm being transparent with you about this. So, watch closely now, because these assurances that we're going to look at in the Scripture tonight, it really should be a great encouragement to us. So, because we live our lives and we defend with the Scripture our faith in this world, the basis of assurance is faith, and faith is both something. Now, don't miss this. Faith is both something to believe and to live. James makes it clearer. So, it's faith's assurance that life is linked thoroughly, undeniably, with God. If you want to know the Lord, get in the book. Your praying just an in of itself is not enough. Now, you better pray. But you need the book. You need the love letter. You need the breath of God. And that's this book. And so as you study it, you take it in and you pray. And then you pray and you take the book in and you take the book in. You recognize that something's going on inside of you. And what goes on inside of you will be, according to the book of Philippians, worked out, displayed, because the Savior is doing what He's doing and expects to use you and me, who are saved, to represent the kingdom and represent the Savior and what He does. So that's the way it works. If you don't take in the book, if you don't pray, then what the Spirit of God is trying to do inside you, you don't get it. And guess what? There are lots of Christians. I'm not being critical. I'm stating a fact. The fact is that when you don't get in the book, you don't get it. Period. And you can be as pious as you want to be in your conversation, but it doesn't mean anything. And so, this assurance that we're going to talk about in just a moment, it has its assurance and has its meaning in two words. We know. We know. Seven times John says, we know. Seven times. See, there is a rational faith. Such a faith also carries with it an emotional content, because one cannot know without being moved. I mean, when you get the truth, I'm sitting at the table and I take in the truth and suddenly it is meaningful and the Spirit of God makes it meaningful and I'm emotional. I can't help it. And sometimes I break out and sing. I'm trying to be quiet because my wife is sleeping. And so I gotta be careful about how loud I get. And then I hear my grandson. He sleeps downstairs. And at night when he's studying, and in a little while I went to bed and all of a sudden I hear him singing. And I think, good night, what's going on? And he tells me the next morning about what he got from the Word of God. So you get it? And you display it. But now, this faith that we're going to talk about, it brings us into a right mind. You think right. The more you take the book in, and the more you pray, the more you'll think straight. You want to know why some Christians are unbalanced? And there are unbalanced Christians. You know why? They're not in the book. See, the Spirit of God is a master at giving you the right kind of thinking. Did you get that? That's a fact. You show me a Christian who's twisted up, and I'll show you a Christian who does not study the Word of God with the right heart. That's a fact. You want to know who creates lots of trouble in the church? The child of God who's not right with God. And is miserable. She's miserable. This matter of taking in the book with the right attitude, obeying it, giving it out as you take it in, and you study the book, and your thinking is straight, and you keep your balance. I want to be balanced. Do you want to be balanced? Class, do you want to be balanced? Amen. Yeah, yeah. And so here we are, and this faith, this assurance of faith, in a world of doubt, it takes four things in a form. Number one, here it is. The assurance of the possession of our salvation. Look at verse 13. Same chapter, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. First assurance. You have this assurance of your possession of eternal life. And it can't be taken away. And you can't lose it. And the wicked one cannot take it. And you're kept in the hand of God. And if you stay in the book, the protective power of Almighty God, with the assurance of the fact that you know that you're saved and you know you're going to heaven, it gives you victory in your living. Oh, yes. And I want to have victory in my living. That's exactly what Pastor's son was talking about. When the people of God, the family and so forth, prayed, there was victory. That is rational faith. That is moving faith. And people prayed, and God moved, and there was victory. And you know what that'll do for you? It'll take away your being moody. Oh, yeah. And it'll take away your being miffed at somebody when they didn't do it quite like you think they should. Huh? Oh, yeah, it will. In fact, in the book, by faith, living, giving it out, taking it in, it'll make you sweet when you're not sweet. It will. And the fact is, most of us are take occasions when we're not sweet. But if you do what we're talking about tonight, you'll be sweet. Oh, yeah. That's true. And when someone is sweet, did you know you can see it in their face? You don't hear somebody and see somebody who's really sweet. No, it's not true. So within this concept of possession and being assured of it, it is because the sin question has been settled. I'm talking about eternality. I'm talking about the penalty that the Savior bore on the cross of Calvary. Please look at 1 John 1. And please look at verses 7 through 10. Because of the settled question now. 7 through 10. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, notice, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The sin question is settled because of your assurance of possession. You trusted him. He washed you in his blood, and now you're free. To do what? To do his thing, not yours. When you got saved, you gave up all your rights. You listening? Well, I don't... Did you know, and I'm being respectful, did you know that the Holy Spirit has never made an ugly face at anybody? Did you know that? Huh? Because there's no ugliness in the Holy Spirit. None. There's no ugliness in the Son of God. There's no ugliness in God the Father. So I'm going to take this book in and take this book in and take this book and get over my ugliness. Because I have a possession of eternal life. And then this is so because we keep his commandments. Look at 1 John. Look at chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. Chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So, it is because we keep his commandments. And there's nothing like when you keep the commandments of the Word of God, the living Word of God. There's nothing like it to make you walk in the Spirit and live in victory. Oh, yeah. And then also 1 John 3, please look at the third chapter and the 14th verse. The 13th verse. Let's do 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Notice, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Ouch. All the brethren. Even the brethren, when he wears a red tie and you don't think he should. Well, yeah. All the brethren, see? So, because there is love, here is love opposed to hate and service as opposed to selfishness. And then, because of the witness of the Holy Spirit. Look at that third chapter. And look at the verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, which he hath given us. So, because of the witness of the Spirit, this assurance. And then, because of the Word of God. 1 John 5, and look at verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. All right, now you have the assurance, first assurance, because of the possession of eternal life, because of the possession of the Savior. Number two, the assurance of the power of God. The power of God. Look, please, at verse 14 and 15 of the fifth chapter. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We have the assurance of the power of prayer. the power of prayer. See, prayer means not only communication, but prayer means conviction. You say you are not aware of something that you're doing that's wrong. If you get on your knees, bow yourself before God, it will not be long until you become aware of what it is that's wrong. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what will happen. So prayer means conviction. But prayer has a condition. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So, the assurance of the power of prayer means conviction. It means condition. And then prayer brings a conclusion. And we know that He hears us. Well, verse 16, notice it. If any man see his brother sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. It brings a conclusion. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So, you have this assurance. But in the third place, you have the assurance of His protection. Notice now once again verse 16 and 17. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Did you know that the knees are more potent than the tongue? Did you know that? See, the next time that you're tempted to lacerate someone with your tongue, first take a moment and go to your knees. And spend the time alone with Him on your knees. And then when you get up, the tongue won't lacerate somebody. Huh? Amen. Now also there is the assurance of the presence of the Savior. Look at verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now please notice this next verse. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in the Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's the assurance of His presence. Now there are three great certainties, and I'll give them to you, that substantiate the assurance that we've been talking about. It's really a threefold confession of faith, each of them with "we know," and this refers to that inner knowledge according to verse 18. Protection against sin lies within. Now let me qualify. I know that my Savior is with me out here. I also know that He is with me in here. So He's with me here and He's with me here. And what is being worked inside me because of the time I spend in the book, then that becomes and gives to me the boldness that I display when I speak or when I live. And my life enjoys a protection by the hand of God as long as I don't do my own thing and I do His thing. You have been this day without even knowing it. You have been protected by God. And if it were not so, you could have died today. Today. If it were not so, that happens on our streets, someone at random, so to speak, would have shot you. Oh, yeah. Or you went downtown and someone would have mugged you. And who is it that kept it from happening? That's right. It is our God. It is our Savior. It is the power of the presence of God and the one who lives inside you when He told you to turn left instead of going straight. And He kept you. My wife intended to go to Phoenix. All the plans were made. The ticket was purchased. And at 5 in the morning, she's checking in at the stand outside Southwest. And when she's through, she turns around. And a girl had placed a ski bag right behind her. And she caught her foot and went down on the concrete and fractured the ribs and broke the big bone in the toe. And has had to now face the necessity of certain arrangements and certain kinds of surgery and detection and all of this that goes with trying to decipher what's going on. And only God knows why. But it doesn't matter. Because He's in charge. And He kept her from going for some special reason that we never know until we get into eternity. And you know what's sweet about it? He is not blamable. My wife got a book from a girl. In it, the author suggests that when you blame God, no! He's not blamable. He's perfect. He makes no mistake. And when He lifts, He lifts. And when He puts down, He puts down. And when He stops the process, He stops the process. And it's okay. And so that's why now she is singing. And I like it. And she just did. Listen, I shouldn't tell you this. But I'm going to tell you anyway. She's always sweet. No, I'm not kidding. But she's sweeter when she's hurt. I mean it. It is true. I mean, when she's not hurt, she doesn't sing as much. No, I'm not kidding. And she's singing now and she's hurt. And you know what, Pastor? One of these days she and I may sing a duet here. No, don't tell her I said that. But it's just, All of this that we're talking about and finishing tonight, there is no defeat when you know what we've talked about tonight and live it. It doesn't matter what happens. Nothing can stop you when it comes to living for the glory of God. Nothing can stop you at the risk of embarrassment. Stop and think about how many surgeries our pastor has had. And nothing has stopped him. Why?
Oh, 'cause he's tough.
Yeah, well, he may be tough, but he ain't tough enough. And the fact is, God has sustained him. Brother Dave, you've driven hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles through the years. And who has kept you alive? You know, truckers normally, when they get older, they don't have good health. You know why? They sit too much. And they eat too much. And God has sustained him. I would call that victory, wouldn't you? See, let's understand something here. Zeb, I love you. And I'm not telling you an untruth. You can go ahead and make a face at me. I'm still going to love you. That did bring a smile to him. But the fact is, that's true about all of us. So if you look at your clock, it's 8 o'clock. And we've looked at the book. And we've known the presence of God. But that isn't all there is to it. You have the next hour to live. What are you going to do with it? And you have tomorrow. It's not all about what you learn. Because it's not all about you. But it is all about Him. And therefore, because He teaches and you learn, then that's important. So, would you make this declaration, not verbally, in your heart? I do intend to spend more time in the book. I do. And Lord, please help me to be able to assimilate and process by the power of the Spirit of God so that I really do live in victory because of all this assurance. Pastor, you come.
All God's people said, thank you very much. Do you have that assurance? Do you know Christ? It was right on. Thought came to my mind in light of what I've been studying today, Brother Chuck, from Matthew 9, getting ready to preach Sunday morning. How many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people marveled at the miracles of Christ, but within a day or two, crucified Christ. Wow. You know, I just want to know Him all the time. And so it's easy. I appreciate that testimony about Alice. You know, it's easy to point at people and say, you know, you need to live the Spirit-filled life. That's your problem. But when you have an issue, all of a sudden there's whining and crying and blaming and bitterness and negativity, and I'm thinking, where's God? And God is sweet in the midst of the valleys. Amen? Well, that's so good, Pastor. Any comments is what we've just heard. I was trying to process, is it possible to be grieved and not ugly? Of course. You know, Holy Spirit can be grieved in our lives, but he's not ugly. But I sure don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. And I want to be a man of prayer, man of the Word. How about you? Are you in the Word? Father, thank you for what we've heard tonight. Pray that you would help us to be people of the Word. And thank you for the assurance you give us of the possession of salvation, the power of prayer, and the presence of Christ. Thank you for that. You're so good to us.